So welcome to this service of morning worship. Lovely to be here on this beautiful, slightly chilly day. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day the Lord has made. We've come here together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, and to seek forgiveness of our sins. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Blessed is the Lord.
For he has heard the voice of our prayer.
Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy.
And in our song we will praise our God.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, creator and redeemer of all. To you be glory and praise forever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now through the deep waters of death you have brought your people to a new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ your light ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we have our first hymn, number 9. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Night has passed, the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. Please be seated. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever.
Amen.
And now we have, instead of psalm, another hymn, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies, 1200. Now we sit for the reading of the Old Testament.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, beginning to read at verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all, yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and the God has been my strength," he says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers: "Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now we say the Old Testament canticle, the Song of David. Blessed are you, O God of Israel, forever and ever.
Yours is the greatness, the power, and the glory, splendor, and the majesty.
Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Riches and honour come from you.
And you rule over all.
In your hand are power and might.
Yours is to give power and strength to all.
And now we give you thanks, our God,
and praise your glorious name.
For all things come from you.
And of your own have been given here.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And now we come to our second reading from the New Testament.
The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 11. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel Canticle, the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. A reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. my hour has not come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stones of water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have drunk too much. But you have saved the best until now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he received his glory. And his disciples believed in him. Most weddings taken in the Church of England have a reference to the wedding at Cana. We don't know much about the wedding. We don't know about the names of the bride and the groom. It was their big day, or rather, their big week, as the Jewish custom at that time called for a feast that lasted 6 days. So Jesus goes to the wedding feast of Cana in Galilee. The Gospel says he was there with his mother. It also indicates that Jesus' disciples were there. It also indicates that Jesus had not yet begun his active ministry. So we can conclude that while Jesus had been calling his disciples, he was still living near his mother. The essence of this story is made apparent in the third sentence. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no wine. The bride and the groom ran out of the wine for their guests. Nothing worse could possibly happen. It was expected that the food and the wine would flow continuously during this week-long party. Imagine being the young couple who would be remembered as the ones whose wedding the wine ran out. Somehow, Mary gets to know. Perhaps she noticed the anxious steward, or perhaps she noticed some guests who were getting a bit upset. She gets out from her seat and casually walks over to where Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and she says to him, they have no wine. Meaning, son, this is serious. Do something. Let's pause here for a moment, because there might have been a message hidden in the gospel that we're likely to miss. It's a message for us to be able to smile, to be able to find humour in the Bible. Sometimes it's okay to laugh, or at least smile just a little bit. We're not trying to make light of this gospel message, but we need to know it through the eyes of Jesus's humanity, particularly with regard to Jesus's relationship with his mother. because this moment is a priceless moment. It's a classic moment, the kind that often occurs between mother and her adult son. Picture the situation. Here's Jesus sitting with his new disciples. They're eating good food, drinking some wine, laughing, get to know each other better, having a good time. Mary's been off with her friends, eating and laughing and having a nice time too, when somehow she realized that the party has just run out of wine. So what does she do? She gets up, tells the wine steward to follow her. She walks over to her son. She taps him on the shoulder and says, "They have no wine." So now, if we're mothers who have adult sons, who are adult sons, let us try to visualize this moment. Think of the facial expressions and reactions that we're familiar with. Let's picture this interaction thinking of our own experiences. Mary doesn't say they have no wine, is there anything you can do? She says, "They have no wine." Then she stands there staring at Jesus. You can almost hear the implied, "Get up out of that chair and do something." She doesn't think Jesus might be able to do something. She absolutely, unquestionably knows he will do something. And that's faith. That is faith. But it's also just a little funny when you put it in the context of mother and adult son. How does Jesus respond? Well, it sounds more like just a little rude. But here again, remember, this is mother and adult son. Jesus responds, "Woman, what does this have to do with you and me? My hour has not yet come." Now, from my own experiences with my own mother, the look that Mary most likely gave Jesus at that moment would probably have curled his hair or singed it off. It doesn't matter how old you are. As a son, one does not dismiss one's mother with that kind of statement. There's also that inconvenient little commandment: honour your father and your mother. Jesus probably knew without any doubt at that moment that he'd better do something and do it quickly, if he knew what was good for him. Such is the power of a mother during one's life. So Mary does what a good mother should have done, would have done. She gave him the look. She just puts him on the spot in a way he can't get out of. She turns to the servants and says, "Whatever he says to you, do, do it." Then with another meaningful look at her son, she goes back to enjoying the party with her friends. And once we've understood the humour, we can go back to have a better appreciation of the enormity of what has just happened here. Think about what Mary has just done. She's just kick-started Jesus' ministry. A ministry that would lead to his death and our salvation. It seems that Jesus was hesitating. God the Father had sent him into the world on a world-saving mission, but he didn't yet feel that the time had come for him to reveal himself. But his mother knew. She knew that the time had come. She was pushing him into a place that he was still hesitating to go. He didn't feel ready, but she knew he was. Mothers always know. Just as any mother knows her sin, Mary knew Jesus. She didn't argue with him. She didn't cajole. She just said to the servants, whatever he says to do, do it. She knew that he would step up and help. So the moment came. Jesus began his ministry with a sign. A sign that may seem iniquitous to the grand scheme of things. A sign that may seem trivial when compared with other signs he gave. He didn't think he was ready yet, but his mother did know. He saw six huge stone jars designed for holding water. Water that would be used for the rites of purification, for cleansing. So being the good son, and not wanting to get on the bad side of his mother, he tells the servants to fill the jars with water. And these men, who are probably also having a few sniggers at that point, take these huge jars, fill them with a brim of water, then Jesus says, now draw some out and take it to the ruler of the feast. That's it. That's all he does. No prayers, no waving of hands. Just take it to the chief steward. So the servants do. The chief steward tastes the wine and says, everyone serves the good wine first. When the guests have drunk freely, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. The author of this gospel finishes the story by saying, this beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. But there's so much more to this story. The writer needed to understand, and I think he did intentionally, with some humour, he needed to provide us with a starting point that showed Jesus as being at the same time fully human and fully divine. Sometimes it's more difficult to sort out the fully human when we view Jesus' ministry. But here, at the very beginning, it's readily apparent. And that's important for us because we need to understand that being fully human, God as a human being, Jesus knows who we are, how we feel, how we react. He knows what it's like to be us. That's important for us to understand, because when we see Jesus as being fully human and fully divine, then we begin to understand better just what his sacrifice means for us. Because as fully divine as God, he has the power to save us from our sins. But as fully human, he knows exactly what it meant to suffer for us and to save us. And that's the greatest gift we could ever receive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We now come to our creed. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we stand, we'll sing our next hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth. 112. Now Roger will come and pray for us and with us.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. A prayer of thanks for the ministry and epiphany of Jesus in our world. We praise you for the gift of Jesus, who was baptized with the Holy Spirit for the benefit of all mankind, and who revealed his ministry at the wedding in Cana. He is with us today in times of difficulty and brings us salvation through faith in him. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for peace and security. We pray for peace in our world, and for our leaders to plan and to provide for protection for mankind from terrible fires and floods, wars, famine, poverty and oppression. We pray for all those who are suffering. May the Holy Spirit be with them. We pray for those in power that they will align the world with the holy teachings of your Son, Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for children and the expansion of Christian activities. We pray for guidance in the ways of helping our church to grow and the raising of children in the ways of Jesus. We pray that there will be creative and exciting times ahead and expansion for all of us at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our world. We pray that global division and deprivation are not provoked into hatred and confrontation by new leaders, and that countries, communities, and cultures will come together in peaceful respect and harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those in our church and our community who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are suffering from physical or mental illness, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure others that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with kind and thoughtful responses to their difficulties. We pray for Peter Nelson, Clive Glitheroe for his forthcoming physiotherapy, Gail Wellings for her complete recovery. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy here in your beautiful creation. Inspire us to share our Christian love with others in our church and in our community of Penn and Tyler's Green, and especially to warmly invite and encourage others to join us at our forthcoming services, so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And as we pray the Lord, the collect prayer. Eternal God, our beginning and our end, bring us and the whole creation to your glory, hidden through the ages and made known in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And our next hymn, our final hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee, 519. We stand, we say our final blessing prayer. God of our salvation, you have restored us to life. You have brought us back again into your love by the triumphant death and resurrection of Christ. Continue to heal us as we go to live and work in the power of your Spirit, to your praise and glory. Amen. Amen. And we face each other over the aisle and say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please be seated.